So the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, we can think of that as an invisible kingdom, a mystery kingdom, if you will. It's a kingdom where the believer is ruled by the king who is inside of them. And I think people who are in the church, when they read, most people who are in the church read this term, this phrase, kingdom of God, what clicks in their mind is, well, that's the church, kingdom of God, the church and heaven and such as that. But when you look at scripture, you don't really find that is true. Usually, like 95% of the time when you read kingdom of God, it's not referring to the church, heaven, and that sort of thing. It's referring to this future kingdom when Christ will come and live on the earth. And we'll look at many, many scriptures to show that. But right now, let's look at the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. And there are only a few places in scripture where the phrase kingdom of God is used to mean kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. You have to look really hard to find one. Most of the time when kingdom of God is used, it's referring to the kingdom of God, the Son, who will come and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, there are many scriptures that show that this mystery kingdom or this hidden kingdom is a real kingdom. And the evidence of the kingdom is given by scriptures that show that believers are being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being ruled by the Holy Spirit. When that happens, then the Holy Spirit is the King or the Lord or the ruler. So that's the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. Now on our outline, we've got just two sentences to sort of explain that kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. Number one is, we enter the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, by faith. At the moment of belief, because the Holy Spirit enters into the believer's spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit rules over this new creation, this born-again one, with the believer's permission. The Holy Spirit can reside in us, but we don't yield to the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, we're not really functionally being ruled by the Holy Spirit or in the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. So let's just look at a few scriptures. And one of the scriptures that refers to, that uses the phrase kingdom of God and means kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, is in Romans 14. And it's verse 17. We'll read 17, 18, and 19. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God, okay, that's what we're talking about, the kingdom of God, there's the phrase, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So there is one of the rare places where you read kingdom of God and it's talking about the church. It's talking about believers who are led by the Spirit of God. Now, we can look at some other scriptures now that show that believers are being led by the kingdom, by the Spirit of God. And if we turned, since we're in Romans, if we just backed up to chapter 8, well, we can read a being led scripture. And those, remember, those who are being led by the Spirit of God, that who have yielded to God, the rule of the Holy Spirit, are in this kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. And verse 13 of Romans 8 says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." It doesn't say they're in the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, or doesn't say anything about the kingdom of God, but those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And then we could go over to another scripture that everybody's familiar with. Carol, you want to read that in Galatians?
All right. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I think we need to go further there. I don't know if I gave all these verses. Well, now the deeds of the flesh, led by the Spirit. But we go on down and he says, "If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality." Oh, I know this is related to the next one. We'll bring that out in the next one. But just 16 through 18 here speaks of being led by the Spirit. And so that means the Spirit on the inside is ruling, or there is a Spirit-controlled life here, a walk in the Spirit. So it's a hidden life. Not everyone looks at us and knows that we're in the kingdom of God. They wouldn't even acknowledge such a thing, maybe. But we know if we're in the kingdom of God. We know that we're living by the principles and the rules of the kingdom and by the leading of the Spirit. So we understand that we're in this kingdom, even if others looking on do not. Well, could I back up to the Romans 14 one for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Where Mark read the scripture that says the kingdom of God is not
meat or drink.
Eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I think that sometimes those who would believe or propose that the kingdom of God is right now on the earth, and that this is essentially all that there is or will be, use a scripture like this to say, see, Jesus or Paul says that the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking or literal things like that. But we have other verses in the Word of God, such as over in Matthew 8, which says that many will come from the east and the west and sit down at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And so you could say that this is truth. This is absolutely true. But as Francis Schaeffer used to say, it's not exhaustive truth. It's completely true. It just doesn't exhaust the subject. There will be a time when there will be eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God does not consist in that. The kingdom of God is undergirded by a spiritual base, its righteousness. And that's why the Jews could not have it at the time when Jesus was here in his first coming. They would not accept this part of the kingdom, that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They wanted the eating and the drinking and the ruling and the reigning over the Romans. But the kingdom must first come spiritually before it is manifested completely physically.
Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Excuse me. And this is just another scripture that's evidence of people who are being ruled by the Holy Spirit. It says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit gives the idea of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and so on. So that's another evidence of people being led
Spirit
by the Holy
ruled,
Spirit.
Spirit controlled.
Now there's another scripture, in Colossians 4:11, that actually uses the phrase kingdom of God. So we can turn over there. For 11 of Colossians, and also Jesus, who was called Justice. Let's see, the second part of that verse. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Let me back up to verse 10 to just make the sense out of that whole thing. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings, and also Barnabas. Barnabas's cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have been proved to be an encouragement to me. So he's talking about the kingdom of God, and that's those who are ruled by the Holy Spirit. But that's one of the few places where the phrase kingdom of God is referring to the church. It's the kingdom of God is used when you're thinking about the church. Now, there is a scripture, Luke 17:21 talks about, in the King James, I believe it says, the kingdom of God is within you, which is true. It is within you. But like Carol says, there's a lot more to it than that. The kingdom of God begins within us as we're born again, and we're made qualified for the kingdom of God. So let's look at Luke 17:21. Let's see, I guess we start at verse 20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming, he answered them, Jesus is answering them, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. King James says, within you. So that's a possible translation, within you. And he said to the disciples, the days shall come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away, and do not run after them. For just as the lightning flashes out of one part of the sky and shines to another part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. So here, the kingdom of God, this is talking about Jesus being in their midst. Jesus being in their midst, the kingdom of God, the King, is in their midst. So this is even before the Holy Spirit has come and he's indwelling people, and he's actually talking to the Pharisees. So we know that the kingdom of God is not within them. It's Jesus Christ, he's in their midst. But sometimes if you just don't look at the context, you might say, well, Scripture says the kingdom of God is within you. And that's the final word on the subject. So the kingdom of God is within you, and that's all there is to it. Well, there's much more to it, and we're going to just go over a lot of scriptures that show some of these other things. But that's...
There's another one I'd like to look at, Mark.
Okay.
It's in John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus is speaking there to Pilate. And Pilate said, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Jesus didn't say that my kingdom will never be on the earth. He just said it's not of this earth. It's not of this world. It's of the spiritual qualities, the spiritual rules of heaven. Jesus's kingdom, as Paul stated, it was not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not, of course, ready to set up his kingdom in any way right at this point in time. He was ready to die. But in saying that his kingdom was not of this world, he did not mean that it would never be on this earth. He asked people to pray that, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He put that in his own prayer. But in saying this, he simply meant, "My kingdom is not a worldly kingdom in the sense of the kingdoms of this world as they are now."
Well, the marginal reading in my Bible says that it can be read this way. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not derived from this world."
Mm-hmm. The word "of" is important. It's not of this world. Doesn't mean that it won't ever be in this world or on this earth, but it's not of the things of the world.